Take your Bibles again, turn to Job 33. Job 33, we'll read just verses 8 through 13 together this evening. Job 33, we're going to read verses 8 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Job 33, verses 8 through 13. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me, he counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks, he marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, focus our minds on the teaching and the preaching of your word. Would you sanctify the next 35, 40 minutes? Would you seal it? May we listen. May we listen to you. May we listen to the Holy Spirit. May we allow a truth to penetrate deep into our lives so that you could help us help more people. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I will take about the next 7 minutes in review this morning to catch you up, remind you, get your mind in gear, and then we're going to kick it in gear for the next 30 minutes after that. Amen? But I need to do some reviewing to catch you back up and get into a realm of thinking for the truth tonight. I've noticed the more sincere a person is, the easier it is for them to get bitter. The more a person tries to serve God and the more they get hurt, the easier it is for them to get bitter. And Job here in the book of Job is one of those that got bitter. The Bible says in Job, I believe it's 1:8 and again in 2:2 or 1:7 and 2:2, that there was not a better man, perfect, upright, man that eschewed God and evil, just a man that loved the Lord, wealthy man, lost it all, just literally in a matter of an hour, lost everything he had, lost all of his businesses, lost his employees, lost the integrity, lost his wealth, lost his health, lost the loyalty of his wife, lost his friends. I mean, lost it all. And eventually, because of that, he got bitter. Now, I made 12 different statements this morning. Let me show you what I mean. I said, before I get into those, God and I don't always agree. I don't have to agree with God to be a good Christian. I have to obey God to be a good Christian. I don't understand God. I'm not God. Praise the Lord. Let me show you how I deal with disagreements. We face a decision, number one. Number two, I try to figure out what the best thing to do is. Now, notice, I try to figure out what the best thing to do is. Number three, God knows we cannot see the same way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, for his thoughts and his ways are above ours. He is God. Number four, I try to see what God says is best to do in the Bible. Number five, God and I sometimes still disagree. Number six, when God and I still disagree, I go against my judgment and do what he says is best. Now, good people say, this is what I think is right. See, good people say, well, I think this is the right thing for me to do. I think this is God's will. The problem is, you're deciding what it is, not God. Don't trust your opinion, trust God's. Number two, good people then do what they think is right. You get to a point where you've thought about it, and I think this is right, and then you do it. And number three, when we do what we think is right, and it doesn't turn out well. Now, not every time, but sometimes what we think is right, we go and do it, and it didn't turn out like we thought it was going to turn out. Number four, when things don't work out well, good people get bitter. Good people get bitter. Now, good people who are sincere, notice that statement? Good people who are sincere expect God, because they were sincere, to do what they wanted. But you're not God. God's not changing for you. Number five, good people who turn bitter want God to explain why his opinion is different than theirs. Can I tell you something? There's sometimes, parents, you need to tell your kids, because I said so. Because your teacher said so. Some of you, it would do you good to back your kids as teacher, whether you thought your kid was right or wrong. You say, well, my child would never lie. Do you want to really make that statement to me? Folks, your child may not have set out to lie, but you didn't teach them how to lie. They do it naturally. And the fact that you would make a statement to me that your child doesn't lie, you're lying. My kids know if they got in trouble, but Dad, I didn't do it. It's okay, you didn't get caught from some of the other things. Don't worry about it. It all balances out. It really doesn't matter. Well, I want justice. You want justice till it affects you the wrong way. Yeah, we're about to. Hang on. That's number six. Good people, when they get bitter, then become more bitter and more bitter. They get into a cycle of bitterness. Now, that's kind of where we stopped. I ended up with this one statement that I will start with. Wise people cannot be bitter, or they lose their wisdom. See, wisdom is seeing life through God's eyes. And the moment you get bitter with God, you stop seeing life through God's eyes and start seeing life through your eyes. That's humanism. Now, aren't you glad God gives us a way to never have to be becoming bitter? Do you know that you can live your life even as a sinner without bitterness? God said, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Do you know that you can? That wasn't a request. God said, put it away. You can put away from you all bitterness. Man, what a way to live. Do you know what? You don't have to get bitter with God. Did you know this? You don't have to get bitter with your wife. You don't have to get bitter with your husband. You don't have to get bitter with your employer. You don't have to get bitter with your employees. You don't have to get bitter with your children. And children don't have to get bitter with their parents. You know, I don't have to get bitter with my in-laws, because they live in Minnesota. No. And you know what? I don't even have to get bitter with my enemies. There is a way that you can live totally bitter-free. Now, let me restate something here. Wise people do not get bitter because they're looking at life through God's eyes, not through their eyes. When a wise person disagrees with God, listen to this statement. When a wise person disagrees with God, they begin to look at life through their eyes and they have to make the decision, my way or God's way. If they say my way, they've lost their wisdom. When they say, I'll look at it through God's way and forget what I say, they retain their wisdom. And they don't get bitter. Bitterness destroys wisdom. And wisdom destroys bitterness. Did you catch that? I want to give you a little recipe, a little five-step recipe for you to never have to become bitter in your life. Are you ready? Here we go. Ingredient number one. This is going back to what he said, preach it. Number one, only God has perfect justice. Yes. Only God has perfect justice. You know, when we disagree with other people, we must realize the other person does have a chance of being right. Say, no, I'm right. From your point of view. But you're not always right. Folks, God is the only one that has perfect justice. In the news, state of Virginia, Governor McDonald convicted, guilty. You say, is he innocent or is he guilty? According to the law, he's guilty. I have to tell you, he's guilty. You say, do you believe everything they said? I don't believe everything anybody says about anything. But I will tell you this, a jury and a judge found him guilty. Guess what? He's guilty. You say, well, I happen to know you don't know, you weren't there. Some of you have formed an opinion without even knowing the facts. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. It's going to get hot here in a second. You know, parents, do you realize sometimes your children are right and you are wrong? Did you ever get on one of your kids and then found out they were right and you were wrong? No, I know you're a perfect parent. That didn't happen to you, but it did to me. Can I tell you something? Did you know there are sometimes students are right and teachers are wrong? I will tell you this. More times than not, the parent is right. More times than not, the teacher is right. But that doesn't mean they're right all the time. Did you know, employer, sometimes the employee is right? No, not always. And most of the time, the employer will be right and the employee will be wrong, but not always. Did you know a pastor's not always right? I knew that. But guess what? He's going to be right more times than not. Now, since God is always right, we must assume when he and I disagree, he's right, I'm wrong. That means when a baby dies, God's right, I'm wrong. That means when Brother Jerry's down with MS, God's right, I'm wrong. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
That means when somebody that I love, I got a call or a text one morning early this week that a dear friend of mine that I've known for 35 years, her mom had a stroke this week in the hospital, and just a rough situation. I'll be honest with you, I didn't agree with God on that. I didn't. That family's been through a lot. I didn't agree with God, but guess what? God's right, I'm wrong. Did you know sometimes my secretary's right and I'm wrong? Usually more times than not. Guess what? Since God is almost always right, in your opinion, just so you know, according to the Bible, he's always right. Well, God's always right, but I can do that. You're looking for the exception. Guess what? God doesn't. I used to tell my kids as their principal, I don't care what your last name is. I really don't. Those of you that sat under my administration, guess what? I didn't care what your last name was. Did you know my children got demerits like everybody else's did? Did you know one of mine was suspended like some of you were? Say why? Because they were a rockhead. They got too many demerits. You suspended your own child? No, he suspended himself. I didn't do it. I didn't get the demerits. He did. I don't care what the last name is. Everybody doing all right? Too often, we assume we're right because we're sincere.
Ooh.
You know, some of you, as a husband, will assume you're right just because you're the husband, because you're sincere and you have the best outlook for your wife, that you won't listen to what your wife has to say and you'll screw up, and then you're going to blame her because it's her fault. No, it's your fault. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. God is the only one that has perfect justice. Tighten your seatbelt. Put your trays up. We're about to take off. Number two, no two people in the world have the same justice. Did you know that Brother Colin and I would disagree on what's just every once in a while? Say why? Because Brother Colin and I aren't the same people. We're going to disagree. And if we brought Levi into the equation, he doesn't even know what justice is. Did you know that no two people have exactly the same justice? And therefore, I must accept the fact that others will see justice differently than I see justice. Everybody doing okay? Man, this is good. There are times I must accept that the other person may be right, and I may be wrong, even though I know I'm right. My wife and I, when our children were smaller, did not always see eye to eye in how they were going to be disciplined. Now, our kids didn't know that, just so you know. My daughter's eyes are about that big around, like, really? Yeah, we never saw my wife and I rarely saw eye to eye on everything. So we decided which one was going to do the disciplining, and the other one shut up and walked away from it and didn't say anything. And we backed each other. Now, when I thought one needed the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge, and she felt they needed something else, we decided who was going to do it, and whichever one got the nod, we let the other do it. Say why? By the way, to this day, my children still don't know we disagreed. I didn't see the justice. There's times I had to punish my children and I didn't see what was wrong. You know, you come home from work, okay, kill that one, and that one's going to live, but barely. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay? Yeah. I don't miss those days at all. Now, wait a minute. My kids never knew when we disagreed, though. Listen to this. Bitterness creeps in when we don't accept the fact that we may not be totally right, even though we think we are. By the way, when my wife disciplined the kids differently than I would and it didn't fix the problem, I didn't go back to her and said, see, now I told you that wasn't going to work. That's called pride, and that creates bitterness. I would say, do you want to try it again, or would you like me to try? Go ahead. Didn't work for me. It will for me. Here we go. By the way, it went the other way too. There was times I disciplined and it didn't work. And she'd say, you want to try it again? Nope. I'll let you do it. Say, what was that? No two people see justice the same way. Do you think Governor McDonald sees justice the way that 11 other people do? No two people see justice the same way. Number three. Make sure your seats are in the upright position. I must never expect anyone's justice to agree with mine. First of all, I said, God is the only one that has perfect justice. Number two, no two people in the world have the same justice. And number three, I must never expect somebody else's justice to agree with mine. Can I tell you something? I don't have final authority. God does. I am not the final authority. God is. By the way, only God has that right. I don't. Did you know that others can handle a matter differently than I do, and it's okay? Did you know not all three of my children did I discipline the same way? I had one child, as all I had to do is look at that child the wrong way, and they were in tears. They were broke. I had one child, if I said, I cannot believe you did this. I am so disappointed. That child would break that quick. I'll be honest with you. That child, I did spank, but that one didn't get it as much because they broke long before then. I had another one. You could beat them till you were purple. Say, why? Because that's just different discipline. Now, I never beat my children, but I had one that was more stubborn than another. Then I had, never mind, I won't go any farther. So I didn't always handle each one the same way, though the same punishments were accomplished. Listen to this statement. Brother Smith, come on up here for a second. I do not expect Brother Smith to see justice like I see justice. I don't expect Tony to see justice like Brother Smith sees justice or like I see justice. Say why? Because then I'm going to get bitter. If you don't agree with me 100%, you're disloyal. Get out of here. You're an idiot. You don't even agree with you 100%. Let me show you what I mean. You can have a seat. I'm going to use you again in a minute. When I go soul winning, I'll knock on a door. I'll say, I'm Pastor Bush over at Grace Baptist Church. I said, and I tell them, we're going through the area to find out if you go to a church anywhere. Do you get to go to church anywhere regularly? Oh, yeah, I go to such and such Baptist church. Baker Heights Baptist, maybe. My first statement is this. I'm not here to take you away from your church. If the word Baptist is attached, my first words are, tell your pastor I'm not here to take you away. I'm glad. Do you go all the time? Yeah, we go pretty much all the time. Great. I am not here to take you away. I didn't say I still don't go soul winning. But I tell them I'm not there to take them away from their Baptist church. Now, if they say St. Michael's, it's like sick them to a bulldog. Here we go. But if it's another Baptist church, I always tell them, I'll say, I'm not inviting you to my church. I'm glad you go. Let me ask you a question. Since you go to a Baptist church, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, I got saved. You'd be surprised how many Baptists say, I think so. You'd be surprised how many other Baptist church members I've won to Christ. By the way, I still didn't invite them to come to my church after I won them to Christ. Say why? Because I've drawn the line of ethics right there. Do you know that if another Baptist pastor knocks on your door, I don't expect them to do that to you? I don't. If another Baptist church knocks on your door and tries to get you out of our church, I don't get upset. I don't expect them to live by my ethics. I don't advise other people's church members. I don't. I have a dear friend in Avenel, New Jersey, Brother Jim Gelhausen. Dear friend of mine. I've preached for Brother Gelhausen dozens of times. Brother Jim and I are very, very close. There are people in his church that sincerely love me. There's been people from his church on vacation come to this church, sit in these pews. I've spent a lot of time with some of those people. I have their cell numbers. Brother Frank Marrero, one of my dear friends. Brother Frank is a crazy Puerto Rican, is what he is. I mean, nuttier than a $3 bill. He is great to be with out on a boat fishing. The guy is nuts. I know Brother Frank very well. I have a cell number. Do you know that I was trying to do something nice for Brother Gelhausen? He for many years pastored and worked a part-time job. And just this last fall, he ended up retiring from his part-time job. He had enough years in to be able to retire so that he could go pastor full-time. I was going to have Brother Frank do something ornery the last morning Brother Jim went to his secular job. Do you know I called Brother Gelhausen? I said, Brother Jim, I need to talk to Brother Frank about doing something nice for somebody, but I don't want to talk to him without your permission. He said, sure, is there anything I can help you with? No, sir. He said, sure, no problem. He said, you don't have to ask me that. I said, yes, I do. He said, thanks, Brother Bush. I texted Brother Frank, told him I'd talk to Brother Gelhausen, and I need to ask him a question, see if he could call me for a second. By the way, I think that's the right thing to do. I don't expect other pastors to do that for me. I don't get upset when they don't. You see, Brother Arcola, I know folks in his church. Paul called me one day before he got married. He was going to ask my advice. I said, Paul, are you still a member in your daddy's church? He said, yes, sir. I said, I won't talk to you until I got your daddy's permission. He said, but Brother Bush, Josh and I are best friends. You know my dad will give it. I said, until I get it, I'm not advising you. You either have your dad text me or call me, but I'm not giving you any answers till you have your dad give me the okay. Everybody see where I'm going with that? Can I tell you something? Brother Arcola called me. He said, Brother Bush, what's this all about? You got carte blanche with my family. I said, I don't unless I hear it from you. He said, you got it. He said, anytime my kids call you, if they're calling you instead of me, go for it, man. I said, that's fine, but I'd never had that before, and I'm not taking advantage of it. I love that. Guess what? I don't expect anybody else in the world to live that way. But can I tell you what? I sure enjoy it. I don't expect others to agree or have the same justice as I have, and I don't expect somebody else. Do you get upset if somebody calls your church members? No, I don't. I really don't. Now, number four, bifocals. Number four, are you ready? I must allow sincere people to disagree with me. I must allow sincere people to disagree with what I think is just. Those of you men that are on the deacon board or have been, we don't always see everything exactly the same way, do we? We don't. By the way, I've been shot down a few times. Something that I thought was right. There's times we've all held our nose and said, none of us like this, but this is what we got to do. You see, we don't always agree, but we don't challenge each other's sincerity. If Brother Brining and I disagree on an issue with the board, guess what? Brother Brining's a sincere man, and I won't ever hold that against him. He has his right to his opinion, and I don't expect him to live by mine. He's lived a lot longer. He has seen something I have not yet seen, and I'll pay attention to what he says. Everybody understand that? I don't think he's a bad man. My deacons will tell you, they've heard me say this a lot. Men, I need you to disagree with me. Brother Matt, you ever heard me say that? Say why? I don't need a bunch of yes men and us jump off a cliff together and not see that we're jumping off the cliff. If somebody knows we're about to jump off the cliffs, stop us. I'm not so proud I can't take disagreement. Now, I'm not going to let Brother Brining and Brother Smith get into an argument over, well, I think you're a jerk for that. Okay, now we've crossed a line. We don't have to agree with each other's opinion, but we are going to maintain our integrity and sincerity with one another. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, if I ever do disagree with them, you're never going to find out what it's about either. I'm not going to talk about our disagreement. Right. By the way, there's times I'll use the deacons. It's a very natural thing in the church setting here. Did you know that sometimes I have to do things that I don't want to do too? Recently, we went through a big decision. The men know I didn't like the fact that I had to make the decision. I researched. I made the best decision. I brought it to them. We talked about it. We talked about it for 2 months. We came to a conclusion. By the way, I don't think anybody in the room really liked everything about it. I know I didn't. But guess what? We all believe in each other. We believe in each other's sincerity. We believe we did what was right. Do we all agree on exactly what level of right? No. But we're where we need to be. Okay. Everybody doing okay? When you go around telling everybody how that you disagree with somebody, you're an idiot. And you're bitter. I worked for four different pastors. I worked for a man in Southern California. I worked for a man in Charleston, South Carolina. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles, and I worked with Dr. Jeff Owens. Did you know that I've disagreed with all four of those men? Guess what? You'll never find out what about. Say why. Sometimes I was right and they weren't. Sometimes I thought I was right and they weren't. Most of the time they were right and I wasn't. I didn't always agree. But you'll never find out the areas I disagreed. Say why. I'm not bitter. Are you? I know people say, yeah, I worked for Brother Hiles and he and I went toe to toe and man, I told it. You're an idiot. You're stupid. When you start bragging about disagreeing with leadership, you're arrogant and you're bitter. What you're saying is you got your wings clipped and want everybody to know you told him your opinion, but you still got your wings clipped. And I told the boss what I was thinking. Yeah, you're not real bright. Everybody doing all right? If Brother Smith and I ever disagree, you're not going to know it because I'm not going to talk about it. By the way, you're not going to know it because he's not going to talk about it. Say why? Because that's the kind of man he is. And I respect that. Boy, that's good stuff. Number five, and I got to quit. But don't put your shoes on. I've got 7 minutes. When God, by the way, remember, God is the only one with perfect justice. Number five, when God and I disagree, I trust his judgment over mine. Now, I'm going to tell you how to keep from being bitter. I just gave you all the ingredients. The ingredients are this. Number one, God has perfect justice. Number two, no two people have the same justice. Number three, I never expect anyone's justice to agree with mine. Number four, I allow sincere people to disagree with me. And number five, when God and I disagree, I trust his judgment over mine. When I have leaders that are over me and we disagree, I trust the leader's judgment over mine. That means my wife's right, I'm not. I mean, there are times when I have leaders over me and I must trust their judgment even though I do not see eye to eye with that person. I always defer to the highest in rank so I don't have to be bitter. You disagree with your boss. Okay. If you can kindly, sincerely, and I mean this in a gentlemanly or in a very Christian-like way, express your difference, express your concern, but let them know if they still disagree with you, you'll do what they say. Can I tell you something? If it's wrong, it's their fault, not yours. Some of you are so bent on getting your way because you know you're right and you want to prove the boss wrong that you're wrong. It amazes me how many people want to reinvent the wheel. They want to reinvent the wheel. I watch churches, pastor leaves or pastor dies, new pastor takes over, and they go through the same cycle they went through when that pastor came in. I watch Christian schools. They go all the way in a circle. Say why? Because they go back to where they started so that they can try it their way. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. I always defer to the highest rank so I don't have to be bitter if it's wrong. I may sincerely think I'm more right. But guess what? I refuse to get bitter because I'm sincerely right. I remember sitting in a staff meeting one night, Brother Ed, with Brother Hiles, and he exploded on somebody and came unscrewed. I thought unjustly. I thought unfairly. Say, did you tell him? Are you kidding? May have been dumb, but I wasn't stupid. I honestly did not agree. If he were sitting in the room, I would tell him, I don't agree. He's not. He's in heaven, and he knows now. Can I tell you something? I said, Brother Hiles is sincere, though. Brother Hiles is standing on a principle. He was backing authority. I don't agree with maybe how he's doing this, but I agree with backing the authority. Do you know, I watched Brother Hiles backpedal a little bit, meet about two-thirds of the way back to where he started from. 2 weeks later, he sat in the staff meeting and said, I think I overreacted. And he apologized. He said, I acted in haste. I won't do that again. That's a big man. Guess what? He was more right for the way he reacted than I was if I'd have come unscrewed on him. Everybody doing all right? If you'll yield to the higher ranked, God holds them accountable, not you. God holds them accountable, not you. Ladies, if your husband overrules you, guess what? Do it. Fellas, if you overvote your wife and it screws up, you should have listened to her. You should have had enough sense to allow her input. Quit blaming her. I'm going to make another statement. If you follow what your spouse says do out of fellowship, listen to this, and it doesn't work out, quit holding it against them because it didn't work out, whether it's the husband or the wife. Fellas, if you defer to what your wife said, and then for the next 2 years she's going to hear, I told you don't ever do that again. It screwed up last time. You're bitter. And you're causing your wife to get bitter too. Why don't you man up and why don't you decide it was your fault for listening to her? Yep. If you didn't have the leadership to listen to her and say, I'm telling you, that's not going to work. I guess it's more your fault than hers.
Yes. Man.
Everybody doing all right? Sometimes pastors ask my advice. Listen to this. I give them what I believe is the best, wisest, safest advice I can give them. If they choose not to follow my advice, they're still my friends and I don't disown them. Even if they didn't follow my advice and what I told them would happen happens, guess what? They're a pastor. I don't pastor their church. They're not going to tell me what to do. I'll sometimes call them. Say, hey, what do you think? I might not use it, but what do you think? I'm not committing myself. I just want some wisdom. I want to borrow some wisdom. By the way, I don't pastor their church. They don't pastor this church. Guess what? We get along fine. You get some guy in here that wants to tell me how to pastor this church, guess what? He and I are going to go to the office after everybody's gone. I'm going to tell him what for. I appreciate his input, but don't you tell me in front of my people what I have to do. Drop dead. God didn't make you the Pope and not me a Catholic, amen? And by the way, listen to this statement. Just because I don't do something exactly like some other pastor does, quit holding it against me. I'm not that other pastor. Jeremiah, go like this for a second. God didn't make me to be Dr. Jeff Owens. He made me to be Craig Bush. I learned that a long time ago. God didn't make me to be Dr. Jack Hiles. God didn't make me to be Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Everybody doing all right? Are you criticizing Brother Owens? Yes. You're looking for something. Listen to what I said. That boy's heard me say that for a long time. I'm not your daddy. Guess what? He'll let me be his pastor, though. Am I going to make every decision? No, God didn't call me to be Brother Owens. God called me to be me. God didn't call me to be Brother Hiles. Guess what? I'm glad. Folks, God doesn't expect me to be somebody else. I don't expect you to be somebody else. By the way, it's unfair for you to hold somebody else in that position. Boys and girls, listen to me. If you have a stepmom or a stepdad, quit taking your step-parent and comparing them to your real parent. That's unjust. Step-parent, don't compare your stepchildren to your children. That is unjust. Why don't you learn to love one another, get along with one another, and you'll watch that bitterness fly away. Not much preaching on that, is there? That's why in our house, my wife has areas of rule. She takes care of the inside. I take care of the outside. She tells me what color paint she wants. She picks it out because I don't see it like she does. And I'll paint whatever she wants painted. Say, well, what if she wants your room pink? She can have it pink. If it's my bedroom, I don't care. Say, why? Because when I'm in there, it's dark. I got my eyes closed. Who gives a rip? I can't see what color it is anyway. Now, I'm not going to paint my office pink, obviously. But you know what? I don't care what color the room is I sleep. My eyes are supposed to be closed, and it's dark. I only got to see it long enough to put some clothes on and get out of there. Folks, some of you fight over the stupidest things. The color of paint. What kind of tile? I don't give a rip what kind of tile. You pick it out. My dad will put it down. get it picked out. We'll put it down. The inside's hers. Now, is she going to tell me where to plant the tomatoes or plant the peppers or plant the whatever plants I'm planting? That's not her business. That's mine. She doesn't come out there and say, I don't think you ought to plant those there. You say, why? Because the outside's mine. She doesn't tell me, I don't think you should mow the grass that way. We've been married 25 years. She's never pushed a lawnmower in her life. She's not going to either. I'll make sure of it. Say, why? Because I enjoy it. The outside's mine. Inside's hers. If she wants to put the chair in front of the front door, bless the Lord, she knows I'm tired when I come home. She wants me to sit down right away. I really don't care. I don't care where the furniture is. I don't care if it's upside down. I'll lay on the floor. I can throw my clothes down on upside down furniture as well as I can on right side up. Folks, we fight over the stupidest things. Say why? Because we got to prove ourselves right. I told you that shouldn't go there. So who made you right? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Some of you are bitter over where your wife put the couch 7 years ago, and you're still ticked off about it. I really don't care. Say why? My wife and I don't grocery shop together much. And when we do, she's in charge of grocery shopping, not me. I just push the cart and try to keep my mouth shut. We don't share that duty very well. Say why? Because. But if I go, I become an obedient husband and I push the cart. And I don't tell her what to get. I'll say, how about that? Nope, that's not on the list. And you think she's tough. You ought to take my daughter shopping. She's worse than my wife. Dad, we're not getting that here. We're not doing that. We got to go. Don't point that finger at me. Break that cotton picking thing. Shove it up your nose on both sides. Amen. Man, they're tough. She taught her well. Can I tell you something? That's a fun way to live. It really is. Some of you need to go through and divide some things so that your wife has some areas to make some decisions. Some of you want to be King Tut. You're more like Winnie the Pooh. Tut Tut looks like rain, you know? Your head's full of fluff and your belly's full of honey. But you got all the right answers. Oh, it's me. I have no idea where that came from. None. I think I'm going to get a parking ticket for that one. Folks, can I show you how not to be bitter? realize God's the only just one. No two people are always going to agree. Don't expect somebody to agree with you. Don't take it offensively when somebody disagrees with you. And by the way, allow sincere people to disagree with you. When God and I disagree, or when leadership and you disagree, trust His. Do you know what happened after Job chapter 33? Job finally said, okay, God, you can have it all. I've accepted it. God said, let me show you what I can do now. I'll give you 10 more kids. I'll give you twice as many cattle. I'll give you twice as many donkeys. I'll give you twice as many camels. I'll give you twice as many sheep. And God got back at his wife for having 10 more kids. She was pregnant 10 more times. Lord have mercy. God gave him twice as much. What? When? When he yielded to what God wanted, not what he wanted. When he accepted God's justice. Can I tell you something? You and God won't see it the same way. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. But when you come to the realization, when you disagree with him, he's right, you're wrong, let him have control. Watch what he can do with it. And it will amaze your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you have bitterness. Some of your bitterness with somebody that lives within the four walls of your house. Somebody might need to go home and call a parent or a child in a distant state and get something right. Some of you just need to come to this altar and get it right.